I love to find, you know, and read great news, find out what's going on. And one of the things, by the way, for those of you, last week we talked about social media, right? For those of you who want to follow up, there's going to be a lot more follow-up in that at Manifest and then thereafter, so be excited about it because it is our wave of the future. There's a great the Harvard Business Review I picked up at the airport, not exactly the place you want to buy it because it costs about $18, but it was worth every penny. There is an article in there entitled Branding in the Age of Social Media, and it was just great article. I'm not talking about it today. Maybe I'll do a review of it next week. It was terrific. It talked about crowd cultures and all that kind of stuff. It was just it was very insightful. So, but I love magazines, and one of the magazines that we subscribe to here is Entrepreneur Magazine, and because it always has great articles in it. And the front cover of March 2016 said the leadership issue: be fearless without being scared. 22 must-have leadership qualities. So I thought, well, that's a good one. Why don't we tackle that one? To talk to people about, you know, what are some of those leadership qualities that you want to make sure you have? Because we all, no matter where you are, you can say, well, I'm just starting in Manatech. I'm not even a regional director yet, so I don't need this training. And I go, oh, my gosh. You always want to work on leadership characteristics because we're leaders in 101 ways we don't even see we are, whether it's at your church or it's in your family life or whatever, any relationship you have, you want to be a leader in that relationship. That doesn't mean you take control. It just means that you want to help empower, instill confidence. You want to help build up other people. That's what your goal is, right? That's what all of our goals are, not tear people down, but build them up, right? Make this world a better place in every way that we can. So we focus on that. But this article had quotes for every single one of the categories. It wasn't really an article written. It was more of a quote. So I'm going to share those with you and then talk about some points in there. But the other thing I thought of as I went through these 22 characteristics, I thought, wouldn't it be great? Because people are always looking for self-help. How do I help myself be better in a specific area? So I added the last item in each of the categories, I added a help book. And I just took them basically out of my library. There are a couple in here that didn't come out of my library, and I'll highlight those. But there are some great books out there to help you with each one of these characteristics. So let's jump in and talk about the 22 qualities of leadership. And the first one is focus. And, of course, as I was writing this, the first thing that came off my top of my head was the Strategic Acceleration book. And that's not even my help book, but it's a great one out there, and a lot of you have read it. Tony Geary was big in Manatech for a while. We had him as a guest speaker, and everybody got a copy of his book called Strategic Acceleration. And it's a great book. It's one of the three main core things. He says the three most important things that people need to tackle to be successful in life are what? Clarity, focus, and execution. So there's focus, how critical it is for our focus. And when you look at it, we are, we're in a society today that is so highly social, global, mobile that we get distracted by everything, right? I mean, there are just 101 distractions. In fact, I see people on their cell phones reading Facebook. They're going 18 miles an hour. They're doing 25 different things at the same time. It's almost like we have a fixed formula in our country to develop ADHD, right? And you almost have to have ADHD to keep on top of all of the different communications that come your direction. The number of bits of data we consume on a daily basis is off the charts. So the importance is, how do we avoid these distractions? You know, how do we keep ourselves focused and you know, keep our eye on the prize, as we say? And it's important for us to almost, I'll give you the quote that was said. It said, it's been said that leadership is making important but unpopular decisions. That's certainly a partial truth, but I think it underscores the importance of focus. To be a good leader, you cannot major in minor things. You've probably heard that language before, major in minor things. Wrong. You must be less distracted than your competition is. To get the few critical things done, you must develop incredible selective ignorance. I like that. incredible selective ignorance. I put that in that outline for people. Otherwise, the trivial will drown you. Now, how many of us can look at our lives and say, man, yeah, I got caught up in some trivia or trivial, right? And that doesn't mean that you don't, on your free time, choose to do what you want. But when you're working on Manatech, you've got to be really focused on what's going to make a difference in your business, what's going to make a difference in people's lives, who can you connect with today, you know, and be very focused about it. A help book I offered up in this category was the book by Canfield and Caulfield, and it's entitled The Power of Focus, one of my faves. I taught on it, trained on it. I think there are even some, if you look at book reviews, I bet it's probably in my book review on manatrain.net. But it's a great book to help you get the power of focus down, critically important for your success. Okay, so power of focus. First one, focus. Must have focus. And again, I think our world, because of all the distractions, makes it harder than ever. Social media, computers, all this World Wide Web stuff, we get bombarded by millions of bits of data every day. So how do we stay focused? That's something you have to get disciplined at to be effective and effective at leadership. Number two is the word confidence, and confidence is really critical. The book, The Leader Instills Confidence and Followership, which is a great followership, by having a clear vision, showing empathy, and being a strong coach. So we instill confidence, and which is basically having people follow us. How do we have people follow us? And that's a clear direction. How many of us have a clear direction of where we're going to go? That's the importance of what? Setting goals and having clarity around where am I going? What am I convicted to creating? You know, Lydia and I have huge goals for this year, and we're convicted about creating them. And it's about how do we get there? We need to continue to be on a path of massive registrations, new associates. We need to get more and more people involved. We need more and more people at Manifest to pick up that spirit and enthusiasm of the changes coming through. All of that's part of this whole big goal. But, you know, we want to have that because we have that vision. When you have a clear vision, people follow you. Now, because you're showing and exemplifying a level of confidence. And sometimes in network marketing, it's hard because we get knocked off the horse, don't we? From time to time, a person says, no, I just got an email this morning. A gentleman said, oh, it's great. Let me just tell you a little bit. This one might be fun for some of you as well. So he was looking at the products and he decided, he gave me some feedback this morning. He said, thanks for your time and feedback, Mary Jo. After discussing it this weekend, decided to hold off for now on any ordering. Just a few budget things to consider, and I honestly dwelled on it a bit. So he said, I'd continue to look through it this month, and you've been a great help in explaining the details of the product line. Much appreciated. So what did I write back to him? I said, Mark, no problem. Keep in touch as whenever you make a decision, I'll be there to support you. I also help, listen to it, because we talked all about products, right? I also help people get their products for free as I know how tight cash flow can get. But that, too, needs a plan. I teach all my grandkids that money does grow on trees. You just need to figure out how to pick it. Quite a different mantra than how we grew up, right? ? Wasn't that fun? Now, I didn't talk about the business of Manatech. I didn't talk, but notice how it just was, you could hear the pain of this guy wanting to be on the products, not being able to afford it, and I just put another thought process for him. So it's the idea of how do we, show the empathy and be there with people and show some of that, confidence in you can create whatever you choose to create, right? It's just about being in that creation spirit, and that's what you want to generate with people, is give them that concept of confidence that they can have, that they can make a difference, and just tweak them a little bit in a direction. Because it's always fun to touch people's lives. No matter what direction it's in, it's about us touching other people's lives. So we want to show up with what? Swagger and assertiveness, always maintain the balance of kindness and generosity, as you saw in my email I wrote this morning, because they work well together. They complement each other. You always want to be kind, generous, at the same time is what? Assertiveness and directional. And that combination is what works so well with people. So what's a good book if you're stuck and you feel like, oh, Mary Jo, I just don't have the confidence, or I don't, you know, some of us just don't, we haven't shifted into a realm of that combination. We're so attack mode, and we get angry when people say no, and we're still off base with all of those emotions. Instead of being thrilled with everybody, no matter what their response is, because you're there to touch their lives in whatever way that might be, we're allowing results to control our emotional state. And that doesn't breed a level of confidence. If you get angry at somebody because they don't sign up, that doesn't show you're confident. The confidence in your business is, it doesn't matter if they sign up or not. Some will, some won't. So what next, right? We continue going on, but we still want to leave a note of, I care about you. Right, that kindness and generosity. I'm here to give you to contribute in your life whenever that looks like it's something you want to do. So the book that I've suggested here is Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. It's a great book on confidence, because every one of you has a giant within, every one of us. And some of you go, oh, Mary Jo, I'm kind of a pipsqueak. I'm kind of quiet and shy and all this language. And you guys have all heard me talk about the word shy. I think shy is a label that people, that's put on some people when they're growing up as little children, and they carry it like a badge of honor, when in reality it's just a choice. I mean, the reality is you can choose out of shy. Yeah, it's just a choice. Because it's all about your behavior. Can you change behavior? Yeah, you choose to have different behavior. So I've helped people, get away from the concept of shy. And it's a remarkable, and when you see them 2 months later, 3 months later, and what they're creating and how joyful and overwhelmed they are by the fact that they've set themselves free from this label of shy. But there are some costs. There's benefits to being shy, too. You don't have to, you can always say, well, I don't have to, I'm shy, I can't do that. It gives you excuses why things don't work out or why you can't do things in life. But again, choice. So confidence. Does shy and confidence go together? Probably not, right? Those two words don't go together real well. Confidence. We want to have confidence. So Awaken the Giant Within. Get Tony Robbins' book and work on yourself if that's a lacking characteristic for you, because you want to carry that forward. And you carry it forward. Notice my response I just read to you to this gentleman's email this morning. Did it show a level of confidence, or did it show whininess, or did it show a disgust, or did it show no, it was just a total heart. A confidence, was I fearful that this guy not saying yes was going to impact my business? No. My business is going to grow no matter what he says, because I'm in convicted and sharing with everyone and anyone that I come across. So it's going to grow with or without this gentleman. I just am sorry that he's not on board at this point in time, so maybe I can help him in another way. So show confidence. Again, Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. Number three, transparency. Transparency is a big issue, right? It's kind of like being authentic, because transparency has to do with, we all carry weaknesses as well as strengths, and sometimes people that step into leadership don't ever want to show any weakness. They feel like, oh my gosh, I'm now a platinum presidential and I need to be perfect. So it's the perfect platinum presidential, right? No. Perfection will never come. I always tell people, I'm a work in progress and will forever be a work in progress as long as I'm on this planet. And so there are plenty of things that I can get better at, and I look for improvement. But when I come across and meet people, I love to come from that authentic being, because that's how people get to know me. It's disarming to them, so they can start letting their walls down as well, because you are exhibiting a sense of transparency. Other people won't do it around you if you don't exhibit it yourself, right? And it's important that we set examples in this regard. Our transparency is, how do we set examples? We set examples by stepping into integrity. We're transparent. In other words, I can't go out there and tell my people to win a Starbucks card every month if I'm not doing that. And now I'm going like on my third or fourth month in a row of getting a Starbucks card, right? That's cool. So it's a neat thing to be able to promote that within your organization because of transparency, because you're doing it yourself. You want to be transparent. If you're not doing it, then you have to ask yourself why, and am I going to step into my leadership realm, or am I going to hang out and try to get other people to do things I'm not willing to do myself? That's not very integrous, but it's also not very transparent because you're not announcing that to everybody, right? So important for us to quit pretending, you know, and this language that we've heard in network marketing of fake it until you make it. It's, I always was disgusted in that when I heard it. I didn't believe faking anything, right? I mean, I didn't fake anything. So for me, it's like we don't fake things. What we do is we go out and we stand strong in what we know, but our transparency allows us to admit what we don't know. So when we're talking to people, and this is what helps us, is that we're the messenger, not the message. So we're just giving them information. If they ask a question, you go, you know what, the best thing for you to do is look at, you know, manatechscience.com and do some research there, because I'm not a scientist. This is what I do know. This is what I don't know. So, and don't think anyone's going to look down on you. It's called transparency, right? You want to be authentic in what you're saying. So don't fake it till you make it. That language is really awful to me. It always has been horrible. So if people are teaching you that, I just say, you know, what are they teaching? I mean, it's kind of, it felt awkward to me, maybe because I'm a lawyer and it sounded fraudulent, and I don't believe anyone should be told to be fraudulent in their behavior. So just be the messenger, not the message, and come from your heart, and things will work great for you. There's a good book out there, Transparency by John Kim. This is a book I haven't read, but I did some research on it because I didn't have a book for transparency, so I'm recommending that you look at it, because I'm in the process of buying it and getting it for part of my library so I can offer it up to other people. Number four, integrity. And this is, again, it comes along with transparency. If you're not in integrity, it's hard to be transparent, right? I mean, it's kind of like you want to, if you're proud of your core values, then it's easy to be transparent. And your integrity is that your activities are a direct reflection of the core values that you hold dear. And that's what you want to do, because you want to show up with integrity, that you're going to show these solid core values to people, because that's what's going to attract people to you. It's an attractor factor. People want to be around people they trust. I have when I talked about my core values, trust was a huge part of my core values, because I found that if I didn't have trust in somebody, it was really awkward for me to be around them. It was hard. I do a lot of counseling through my foundation and church, and it's intriguing when you're counseling people that are not trustworthy. It's almost impossible to make headway with them. You have to almost establish that underlying concept of honesty, right, which is integrity. It's like they have to have that core base. Otherwise, how do you move them forward? And there's techniques to use to move people forward, notwithstanding that, but it has to do with more of their acknowledgement of the problem of dishonesty. What does it do, right? So integrity is so critical for us. We were looking for being integrous because that's an attractor factor. We have a lot of people in our society today that don't carry forward integrity. I don't know what's happened in the, you know, raising of children and the core values, but we see a lot of that out there. So another aspect that they brought up in integrity was the concept of being right. Like, leaders always need to be right, you know, and I learned that lesson in my Clemmer work, and it was really demonstrative in the red-black game. For those of you who have been through Clemmer work, you know what I'm talking about, the need to be right. I mean, it's one of the most self-destructive, you know, programs that we have running our lives. And what it's about is start doing the right thing, not need to be right. For us, it's about doing the right thing is helping people, because people out there are looking everywhere for a sense of greater health, and also somewhere where they can have additional money. So you don't have to write back and tell somebody, well, sorry, I can't afford the products. Well, wow, okay, so let's start working on that. Where's the income? Why aren't we being the creators we need to be? Let's help people with that. We have so many ways to help people. So being authentic is something that really, when it comes from you, it will rub off on your entire organization, and it will really help you, you know, impact the lives of people in your organization well as well. A help book in this area is Integrity Selling in the 21st Century. Yep, good one. I also should say another one is the Bible. Of course, the Bible is probably good for a lot of these characteristics, right? So know that that's another great source. But and there are plenty. Every single one of these categories have a lot of Christian literature on. So if you're, you know, of that ilk and you want to pursue those, there's lots of Christian books in each of these categories. Inspiration, and inspiration's great. The quote that came out of that came from Arnold Schwarzenegger, and let me read it to you. People always say I'm a self-made man, but there's no such thing. Leaders aren't self-made. They are driven. I arrived in America with no money or any belongings besides my gym bag, but I can't say I came with nothing. Others gave me great inspiration and fantastic advice, and I was fueled by my beliefs and an internal drive and passion. That's why I'm always willing to offer motivation to friends or strangers. I know the power of inspiration, and if someone can stand on my shoulders to achieve greatness, I'm more than willing to help them up. So being inspiring. Of course, Arnold had his own issues in his marriage and stuff like that that kind of undercut how we might perceive him, but he was an inspiration. When you get somebody from a foreign country that rises up to be governor of a state of our in our country, it just shows the ability for anyone to make it in this country, and it's just about us, you know, being that leader that inspires people to be able to be the greatness that they choose to be. And the book here would be The Power of Servant Leadership by Robert Greenleaf. If you understand servant leadership, it's just an incredibly empowering concept. It's I went to a number of conferences on servant leadership and you know, pursued some of these companies that have servant leadership going on in a huge way and how effective it is, because the employees of servant leadership companies love their job. They love their employer. It's just it just converts the attitude, like, between night and day compared to so many places that people work. But be inspirational. We want to inspire people to be the best they can be. Six is passion. You must love what you do in order to be truly successful. I agree with that. If you don't love manatee, if you don't love helping people with health and helping people with opportunities to better themselves and add some additional income to their family, then manatee may not be for you. It may not be a vehicle for you, because that's who we are. We're passionate about three things: health, we're passionate about prosperity for people, and we're very passionate about what? Our mission that we have, Mission 5 Million. So there's three levels of passion. Now, could you be passionate about one of those and not all three and still convicted about man? It's like, of course. We have a lot of people that love M5M. I mean, that's all they want to do is work for M5M. They love the product. You know, they love taking Ambertose or whatever, but their whole concept of being active with Manatech has to do with M5M. That's great, whatever that passion is. I have a passion just to lift up people who have lost hope, who have lost direction, who have lost a concept of I can. They've been hammered so many times in our society that they walk around with this I can't attitude, and I love to convert that. I'm passionate about helping people and change that. But we need to be passionate inside of us. If we don't have a passion driving us, we need to work on that. Can you develop passion? Absolutely. You find it. Because every one of us has that seed inside of us. One of my favorite books that I read early on and I passed out to my entire downline, and people are going, Mary Jo, how did you send it out to your entire downline? Well, you can tell, does that tell you how old it is? Right? 20 years ago when I was first starting and I had about 5 leaders in my organization, I gave every one of them the book at Christmas time called Living with Passion by Peter Hirsch. And there's another great book out there too. I added it on the list, The Passion Test by Janet Atwood, that might be able to help you in discovery process. Taking the passion test, and the Atwoods are very famous out there for working on people and developing passion. So if that's something you feel is lacking, if you're in the doldrums and you're just kind of lingering on, you ought to find that. And even if you find your passion is, you know, something else, Manatech might be your vehicle to fulfill that passion. In other words, if you have a passion, you know, some of my other passions are going in the mission field and doing mission work and traveling all over the world. And the graffiti church out in New York City is just a passion of mine as well now, as well as Brazil. And Manitech, it's really great to be able to live day in and day out in a passion that you have to fulfill other passions that you have. Isn't that great? And that's, so Manitech can be a vehicle for you to live your passion. Number seven, leadership trait, innovation. And innovation is, you know, when we think about innovation, a lot of times we think about businesses. We don't always think about network marketing, right? We'll think about, like they said in that quote, it was, in any system with finite resources and infinite expansion of population, like your business or all of humanity, innovation is essential, not only for success, but for survival. And they talked about innovators are our leaders. You can't separate the two. Whether it is by thought, technology, organization, innovation is our only hope to solve our challenges. And innovation, to me, when I look at it from a perspective of Manitech, it's exemplified by our willingness to change, our willingness to take on new approaches, like right now, me jumping in, you know, full strength in social media, or me jumping into the China realm and going out to Chinatown and meeting with Chinese and going to Chinese Baptist churches and things like that. That's all part of, I call it innovation, but it's part of change. You know, in order for us to be the best we can be in our networking business, we have to be open and ready to innovate what our methodology of prospecting, because it needs to change. Because you know that right away, because when you run out of your first warm list that you have, what happens? You have no one left. I went to an art fair on Saturday, had a great time, found some great Christmas gifts, and my closets are already getting full from Christmas presents for next year, and it's not even April yet. But it was a blessing that I found all these, and I found a bunch of contacts for other people that I know to help in their businesses. But I came back with like 60 business cards. Follow me? So it's a constant adding of people and finding new people. But we need new ideas all the time. We need to be innovative in our approach, right? And it's driven by us, our why in our life. Why are we doing this? All this kind of stuff. So the self-help book I put Start With Why with Simon Sinek. And he's talking about innovation, innovative leaders. What are they? And that's what innovation is, what helps us solve our challenges. Number eight is patience. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, right? And we know about patience. I know about patience because that was one of my big drawbacks for years and years. I'm not sure I've totally conquered it yet. But the Lord keeps leading me on paths to help me conquer it, because he'll put things in my life that require massive patience. And they talk about patience as really courage to test your commitment to your cause. And that's so true about us in network marketing, because are we going to have tough times? Oh, my gosh. We can have lulls. We can watch our business drop. I have a couple people right now in my organization that have lost their leadership level. And, you know, it's about sitting back and going, wow, you know, what am I doing? What do I need to do differently? And being patient about the process, instead of being overwhelmed by I'm a failure. And that's not patience. Abandoning Manitech isn't patience, right? And patience, you know, if we exhibit the value of patience in our life, a lot of things will play out for us. So it's about really truly standing in the strength of what you have, being patient with it, and it takes courage to do that, because you're almost bucking the wind, because other people are leaving or quitting, or they're going to another network marketing company, and you look around and you go, oh my gosh. But you know what? They weren't patient about what's coming. They weren't patient about a new Manitech. They weren't patient about the new product. They weren't patient about just impatient with themselves about their ability to really do this business in its first place. So we need to be patient, and we need to be patient with others. We need to, you know, sometimes we call it giving some people some rope, right? So there are always going to be doubters out there. So we want to make sure that we understand our patience and our willingness to stick-to-itiveness through the thick and thin. Be patient with things that are happening, patient with things that we may not agree with, because we're not in control. but we believe that the people in control will make a difference, and we watch that direction change. The self-help book here is The Power of Patience by M.J. Ryan. Next one is Stoicism, and why do we have Stoicism in here? Because, you know, we don't want to overreact to things that happen, you know, in some instances, because some of us, myself included, are so emotional that when things happen that we don't like, we, like, go crazy, we lose it, we don't exhibit what I call self-control at times. And all of this is important because, you know, we don't want to be reacting emotionally to things that need us to be reacting rationally, which is the majority of life. We need to be reacting rationally. What can we make a better decision from our rationale than from our emotional state? Of course. So we want to be able to consider worst-case scenarios, regulate our unhelpful instinctual responses. And I like that language, unhelpful instinctual responses, because we have some of those. For me, it gets into some will, some won't, so what next? Because, you know, we get negative or down on ourselves or whatever. So we need to really grapple with, you know, what am I here for? What's this really purpose for? Get into our deep purpose. Have the patience we just talked about. And the book I pulled out of here was Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. I think that's such an awesome book to just give us that opportunity to sit back and be able to weather through any storm, because there's something greater out there. And our direction is set on that greatness. And not allow anyone to rob from us or any scenario to cause us to freak out or get those unhelpful instinctual responses, which are give up. That's an instinctual response, and we want to avoid that. Wonkiness is the 10th one. That's kind of a crazy word. I didn't even know what wonkiness meant, so I kind of looked it up, and it really didn't even fit the quote that was given in the book. But wonkiness was kind of, you know, I thought it would be something like, you know, going really, thinking way outside the box sometimes, but it really has to do with shakiness or unsteadiness. And, you know, it's like he tied it in the quote. It was about understanding data about customers, the loss ratio of customers, how do you double the average customer's lifetime value, and how we deal with that. And I think this is big for us in Manatech, is this concept of how we deal with customer service. And it got to the point of being customer service fanatics, because we do all this work to gather and collect all these people in our organization, and then if we don't serve them, we lose them. And you go back and you go, wow, especially where you hit national director and then you fall off. And you go, my gosh, is this worth it? And then we start questioning Manatech, or we question the business model, when it has nothing to do with the business model. It has everything to do with what our activities are. Are we truly supporting people in the way they want to be supported? They need to be supportive. And are we continuously driving our business? Because there's always going to be a fallout. You're always going to have a certain level of fallout in your marketing approach. So the idea is, how do I avoid falling backwards in my approach to this business and my growth in Manatech? Well, there are two critical things that you have to do. One is, you got to understand that we're always prospecting. We're always out there looking for new people. We're always looking to find people who are interested in the business, to help them get started on the products, get interested in the business. So that's number one. The second thing is, you want to find builders. And sometimes you can go your first 6 months, 8 months, 2 years in Manatech and something like this before you find somebody who really has the vision for the business. And a lot of that has to do with who we're prospecting. You know, that chicken list that we all have, right? But the idea is building customers we need to be doing all the time, and also looking for partners in our business. That's what's going to help your business be on a continuous growth path. So wonkiness is really working with customers, treating them the best, you know, giving them great feedback, training, growth. And to do that, a great book to read, and all of us covered this book, I did on a Monday call, was You Can't Fillet a Nibble. It's The Catch That Counts by Gary Cox. That's a terrific book about customer service and understanding, you know, our efforts and energy we need to put forth to close people. Next one is authenticity. Ooh, I'm kind of running out of time. I got 15 left, I think, or so. Not a lot left. Okay. authenticity. Lead from a place of authenticity. This is just being real. And again, it ties back to integrity, all those kind of transparency, integrity, authenticity is being real. You know, learn from others. I think reading autobiographies of some of your favorite leaders is really huge. And if you take on that, you'll grow a lot. It's one of the favorite things that are suggested in South Africa, I know down there, that they're constantly putting autobiographies in their tools a month because they realize the importance of learning from leaders that really accomplished a lot in our world, people that you respect and honor, to learn from them and how they step into their authentic voice and their authentic opinions. A self-help book here is The Speed of Trust by Stephen Covey. And you can say, well, Mary Jo, what does that have to do with authenticity? Well, Speed of Trust talks about what? The ability, if there's no trust in an organization, you're going to have a collapse of an organization. Why it's so critically important for us to be authentic is that it produces trust. People will trust you when you come from a place and lead from a place of authenticity. Number 12, open-mindedness. A big myth out there is leaders are so focused and have dogged determination to stick to their plan no matter what, when in reality, you know, good leaders have an open mind. We have a plan, we stick to our plan, but when we see some creaks and crevices and things not working, we need to be open-minded to be able to shift and go in a different direction or reassess or, you know, get some feedback from people to find out what direction is worth going. Now, some people say that, well, Mary Jo, yeah, that's why I change all the time. Well, you got to give your plan a shot. A lot of people change directions because they get depressed or something didn't work out for them, and they instead of self-evaluation, because a lot of the problems involved, especially in our industry, network marketing, it's our own lack of self-development that's holding us back. We're not becoming the people we need to be successful in this business, and so it doesn't have to do with your plan. It has to be what investment are you making in you? And I love those, you know, those books like The Slight Edge and those kind of books that continue to tell us that what do we need to do? We need to be changing our lives every day. If you make one little change in your life and you do it over and over and over again, you can create remarkable results. And so be open to those kind of commitments to yourself too, because a lot of the time when something's not working in terms of a plan, it's not the plan that's faulty, it's the operator of the plan. Self-book here is, and I like their language too, your commitment should always be to invest, develop, and maintain great relationships. And that's true with our industry, absolutely, with network marketing. And the help book here is Leading with a Limp by Dan Allender. And that's a great, one of my great leadership books that I love so much, Leading with a Limp. And 13 is Decisiveness, Be Decisive. So, you know, when you make a decision, make the call fast, make the call loud, and don't look back. That was kind of the advice given them, kind of like advice of a ref when you're out there and you're reffing a basketball game. That's the things you have to do. Otherwise, you'll get annihilated by the people around you. You don't want to be wishy-washy. Indecisiveness puts mud in the tires. It slows things down. And a help book there is Getting Things Done by David Allen. Number 4 is Personableness. And we all have something to offer this world. Be real and focus on genuine connections with people. So personableness is about, you know, don't have that harsh edge about you. There are people that carry this around. I had one for sure when I got involved in this industry because of my background of being a lawyer. We were pretty harsh. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we were like sharks. We'd go out and, you know, the blood would be in the water after we got through with people. Now, that's if you take that attitude in network marketing, you'll be tremendously unsuccessful. Because it's about being personable. It's about loving and caring caring for other people. So look always for other ways that you can help people. Focus on what, instead of focusing on what they can do for you. And that's so true about us when we go out there and do prospecting. If your whole focus is about what they're going to do for you and how they're going to add volume to your downline, you're going to lose it. Because the people are what? They want... How are you going to help? How are you stepping in their life to help them? Don't focus on what they can do for you. Focus on what you can do for them. And sometimes it doesn't look like Manatech at all, but eventually it comes around to being that. Dale Carnegie book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I think that's a great book for you to get on more personableness. Number 15 is empowerment, delegate responsibility and authority. You want to empower other people, and that's a huge part of empowerment is delegation. Giving people more responsibility empowers them to be the best they can be, letting them stretch outside their comfort zone. I love doing that with people because people get stuck, and you want to stretch them outside their comfort zone. Otherwise, they're going to seal the deal for themselves that they'll never move forward. And if they're interested in moving forward, we want to present them the opportunity to do that, right? So it's about building empowerment. So give them, you know, allow them to crawl, walk, and then run. It's a process. The power, the book here is The Power of Thinking Big by David Schwartz, or there's an empowerment book that I haven't read by David Geshen and Gail Straub that you may look into. It's got a lot of great feedback about it. I read a lot of the reviews, so that's why I put it on the outline. Power of Thinking Big, of course, I've read that a number of times. It's a great, great book. 16 is positivity, create a culture of optimism. This is so huge in our world of negativism. Don't you guys agree? I mean, everything in the papers today in the news, and I just go, wow, how do you turn everything from negative to positive? Every day I work on that in everything around me, and it becomes part of, once you develop the habit of doing that, all of a sudden you'll become a person that's optimistic and positive, and you'll become an absolute natural attractor factor. And that's exactly what I've done in my life. It took me years to get there because dealing in law was always negative. Everything was attack mode, and now it's all positive. And no matter what happens out there, it's positive. It's one of the reasons I mean, politics is so hard for me because there's so much trash talk and garbage strewn, and I keep thinking about what could this country create if we could just stay positive? What could we create? It's amazing what we leave behind. And what a waste, the strongest country in the world, because we rather choose to be angry and negative than choose to be positive. There are just so many great things that could happen. So we want to make sure we always choose positivity. And it's not a Pollyanna system. It's not about not understanding reality. It's about what can we do to make it better instead of the negative approach about just whining about how bad things are. So Power of Positive Thinking, Norman Vincent Peale, that book will knock you off your socks if you haven't read it. It's one of those very popular ones. Generosity, this is it. Offer the best of yourself always. Always be a giver, because givers, that's how you receive. As you show, so shall you reap. Those are a basic biblical concept that's absolutely dead on. So always help others to grow and be their best. The book I recommended here is from Bob Berg, Go Giver, and it was a book that Manitech handed out at one of their conventions. It's a good one. And it will help you as well in growing your business. Manitech business. Number 18 is persistence, and persistence is hanging in there, right? It's just about persisting no matter what. No matter what happens, I'm persisting. It beats resistance, which a lot of people have instead, because all great things, anything worthwhile takes time and effort, and, you know, it's that inevitability, knock down 7 times, get up 8. That's how you want to define persistence. Go beyond where others stop, and that's very true, again, especially in our network marketing business. We see people stop and get stuck, and then they give up. And it's if you look in their life, you'll probably see it 5, 10, 20, 30, 50 other times because they haven't understood the value of persistence, the value of hanging in there and running with it. Even when it's the tougher it is, the harder it is to hang in there, but that's the time when you want to be have the most energy towards hanging in there. The help book there is Dare to Dream, Work to Win by Tom Barrett. That's another one of my books read long years and years ago, so it's a terrific book. 19 is Insightfulness, and it just takes us insight every day to separate good and worthwhile from all the incoming fire. Again, distractions everywhere, so we want to have insight. It's like wisdom. It can be improved with time if you're paying attention, but it has to be in your character. John Maxwell has a great book, 21 Laws of Leadership, that talks about insightfulness in there, so another great help book. Number 20 is communication. If people are not aware of expectations, they will look to you as being at fault. So you want to make sure that you're a great communicator and communicator of expectations, communicator of, like, people who are interested, how do I make this business work? You better be a good communicator of how this business works, the how-tos of the business. I'm getting a new guy started today, and it's a blast. He lives in the Phoenix area, and it's going to be fun to work with him and just setting up the how-tos. How does this business work? How do we get started? How do we build this for him so he can get his products for free and go beyond that? So critical, clear communications, right? We want to make sure we're effective communicators. And we treat new ideas as collaboration versus instruction. That just means that there's input. You want to make sure people feel like they are having some input in a process, because otherwise they're going to be, you're leading just because of your positional leading. If you look at the Orrin Woodward book about the, you know, the different levels of leadership, you don't want to lead just from positionally. You want to lead because of people honor you and respect you and you're inspirational. So make sure that your ideas come from a collaboration perspective instead of just instructional. This is hard at the early stages when people don't know enough, but as they start getting to know things, you can lead them in a pathway of collaboration. And a book there is Leading Out Loud by Terry Pierce. Number 21, we got two left, accountability. A lot easier to assign blame than hold yourself responsible, and I always love the definition of responsibility. It's responsibility is the ability to respond. So it's not fault and blame. I don't play a fault and blame game with anything in life. It's not the way life is structured. Life is structured not from fault and blame. Life is structured around what? Our ability to respond. So how is our ability to respond in a given set of circumstances? So we can hold people accountable, but it's accountability from a perspective of, wow, you know, you're committed to reaching this leadership level. You fell 1,000 short this business period. Instead of, like, jumping all over of them and just, like, hamming it down, just going, let's get a plan together and never let this happen again. And to start to, you know, develop a new plan and step into being ability to respond to something that fell short. Let's have an ability to respond to make sure it works. So step into mistakes. Do what it takes to make them right? Set the example. And a good book here, Stephen Covey book, I like, 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, Sharpen the Saw. There's just so many things in that book that are going to help you, and not necessarily just on accountability, but so many areas. That's a great book for everybody to chew on and eat up, because it takes a long time to chew through it. I know, because I've done it a few times. There's just so much good meat in that book. And then the last one is restlessness. And this is an interesting leadership characteristic. It wasn't one that I would have thought of, but it came out of the, like I said, the Entrepreneur Magazine as the 22nd one. And it's about being uneasy. In other words, you know, never rest. You know, it's kind of this concept that there are gaps out there, and you want to make sure that you're on edge in a way, not in a bad way, but on a way that you're always looking for change. You're always looking for how do we do this better? Or there's always, no matter where you are, there's always room for improvement. Because sometimes when things go great, we get lackadaisical, and then what happens is things start going the other direction because we didn't keep our eyes on the vision that we had, and we weren't looking at where is that continuous improvement. It's a constant, you know, make little bit improvements. Just always be looking for what's the next little thing that I can do to make it better. And and being able to respond in times of, you know, where people change things on you. And that's the book there, Who Moved My Cheese by Spencer Johnson. That's a great book because it's our ability to respond, right, to things that happen around us. So always being looking at how I can be the best I can be. So that's it, people. A bunch of 22 characteristics or qualities of leadership. And obviously you listen to all of this that are on the call and you're saying, okay, how does this apply to me? And that's what you want to do. You want to take your highlighter and just go through and say, okay, what characteristics could I use some work on? And don't take 21 of them because that's going to be overwhelming, but maybe pick one that you think, you know, if you could circle 5 that are most critical to you right now, and then start one at a time. And maybe, you know, buy the book or get the book on your iPad and read the book and help people get some feedback from people around you. Look for that characteristics in others and say, how is that playing out in other people and how do I need to shift to be more like that? And that's what you want to do, is start working on yourself. But you know, we're in, I can look at these character things, and there are a few here that, you know, scream out at me as well. And those are the ones that I'm going to choose to work on over the next few months. And it's just a great time to sit back, review, and say, how can I be better? And then how can I, and through that, improving ourselves, of course, we're improving our entire organization, because we're the leaders and we're the ones that put forth this knowledge and information to people and help them be better. And if we don't operate from a perspective of being in that level of constant improvement, then we can't expect other people to either. They'll get stuck and they'll take after you as their leader, because if you're stuck, they're going to get stuck. Because we lead, number one, what's our number one way to lead? We lead by example. So, okay, people, that's all I have for today. Hopefully it helps. Anyone, any specific topic or quality today that jumped out at you and you might want to share?
Mary Jo, this is Silence.
Hi, how are you, Silence?
Hey, I'm good. I think that the consistency and the persistence and everything like that is just so important for our particular company, you know, with all the distractions and the different things that have gone on over the years and all the new network marketing companies that former people are in, blah, blah, blah. So I think that's really important to keep us engaged, you know, and our team engaged on, you know, focusing on that. And
right.
I was just wondering, maybe you could suggest to corporate, and I know Al, you know, is familiar with this, but maybe the book of the month for the company, not just, you know, different leaders have different book of the month and, you know, study, you know, and that's all good, you know, but maybe
absolutely,
if the company could get on, you know, a book of the month, you know, so it's not overwhelming, you know, not a book a week.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree. In fact, we had a big discussion of that with the Delta team, because that's exactly what they do down in South Africa, and we've never incorporated it here. We've been trying to get it done, and it looks like that's coming out with TOMS, the Tools of the Month, that we're going to actually have a book that goes along with that. Not just, you know, some DVDs or things for people to listen to or watch, or CDs for them, whatever, but it's actually a book. And
yeah, I mean,
I've incorporated, I'll tell you what I've done personally. I do it on my team. I have a weekly team call on Monday nights, and every month we adopt a new book. And
right,
you know, I used to wait till the end of the month to have a book review, and what was happening was people weren't reading it. So now what I do is I sign out chapters, so every Monday night different people on my team have different chapters of the book, so there's a chapter review as part of our weekly team call. So it might be something, until we get it from Manatech, we do as leaders as well. It's a great idea.
I think that's a great idea. I just think it'll have more credence and more consistency and take it global, you know, for the company to do it.
I agree. Absolutely.
Maybe even do something like that, you know, like have leaders rotate. You know, let's do that, what you just said, and then we have a call once a week and different people report on chapters.
Yeah.
I mean, leaders, remember how we used to do the Monday night calls and different leaders would take them? And there's enough leaders that we could volunteer and do these calls once a week and do the chapters, but have it be global.
Be awesome. Yeah. And because it's just so helpful and really help people step into that. And then you could bring leaders along as well, which is what I love to do in my own group, is bring some people up who would never read books, and now all of a sudden they're starting to read books, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's the whole,
because
we want to continue growing. Good. I will, I'm writing that down. I'll make that recommendation.
Yeah, because
good
I
idea.
Think people,
super.
They listen,
you bet.
To the
thanks, Silence.
Sometimes more than us.
Yeah, absolute.
You know.
Absolute. Yeah.
Okay,
got it. You bet.
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
Hey, this is Sue in St. Louis.
I recognize your voice, Sue. How are you?
I am fine, and I just want to thank you over the years. You've been a wise and stabilizing force, and I love starting my Mondays with you. You're wonderful.
Thank you, doll. Am I going to see you at Manifest?
Absolutely.
I love it. Okay, well, have some hugs there. Great. Thank you.
Take care.
Absolute. Bye. All right, everyone, have a great week. Let's make it happen. First week, business period 4. Let's go out and share and make a difference in people's lives. Love you guys. Bye, everyone.